Hashtag you don't have to be Jewish.
Good afternoon, Professor Shub. How are you?
Good afternoon. How are you?
Oh, very good here. Thank you for asking. So we are today in the middle of a very important discussion, Professor. Yesterday we started talking about the risks from functions and parties. It's that time of year for a lot of us, whether there are still office functions. A lot of people are celebrating Christmas. Some people will be having Hanukkah festivities. And people want to get away on holiday and they want to see family after what's been a really long year. So let's discuss the behavioral precautions, because we know, we've spoken about it before on the show, that you're more at risk from these smaller, more intimate family gatherings than if you go to the shops, because you're on your guard and you are in a different mental space. But you let your guard down around people that you're familiar with and that you feel comfortable with.
Yeah, Paul, I think this is it, you know. I think the kind of, you know, it's been estimated that about 80% of transmissions occur when people are in congregate settings, in other words, when they're crowded together, particularly indoors, particularly where there's poor ventilation. That's really the kind of risk we face. That's really what happens at these functions. And I gave some illustrations yesterday, of some of these kind of explosive spreads, these super spreading events. And I just thought today I'd kind of just, back it up with some of the science, because as you say, we have spoken to this on previous shows, but since then there's been a lot of evidence which has been gathered to kind of show how these precautions, these relatively simple precautions, behavioral precautions, can very effectively control the epidemic. And I just want to give you a couple of examples to kind of illustrate this. The one that was reported in the often spoke about the Morbidity and Mortality Week report, they did a study of the state of Delaware between April and June this year. Now, Delaware had state mandated stay-at-home orders, which is, I guess, like lockdown, and also mandated public mask wearing. You had to wear a mask in public situations. And they showed that it contributed to an 82% reduction in incidence of infection, an 88% reduction in hospitalization, and a 100% reduction in mortality where it was actually implemented. So that gives you some indication of the power of the things like distancing and wearing a mask. There was another one which is actually a simulation model in the States as well, where they showed, they actually studied New York City, and they showed that social distancing mandated, if it was given 1 week sooner than it was, that would have reduced confirmed cases from 200,000 down to 40,000, one fifth of the amount. If introduced 1 week later, it increased cases from 200,000 to 1.4 million. So these are all kind of examples. The most widespread one was done in as a mathematical modeling study done in the USA, looking from the 22nd of September to the end of February, projecting into next year. And they said that if there's universal masking use, where people wear masks at 95% of the time in public, that would save 129,500 lives. If it was near universal, in other words, 85% of people wore masks in public, that would save 95,814 lives. So just, it gives you some kind of indication that these are precautions and measures which are not sucked out of the thumbs. They're evidence-based, they're science-based, and they're very effective.
Well, those numbers are staggering, and I think, Professor, it does speak to the exponential growth potential of the virus and the reproduction rate, and how, when you get that near compliance, it cuts everything quite drastically. But if we're talking about behavioral precautions, yes, wearing a mask, some people social distancing. Yeah. Some people might feel uncomfortable. I think there's a human element. Some people might feel shy around maintaining those precautions when they go home for the holidays or when they have people over for a braai because they don't want to feel like they're accusing other people of harboring the virus, because we get, there's a lot of emotion and morality around these things. So what's, I guess, as you say, social distancing, try and hold conversations outside and try not to spend too much time indoors with too many people.
Yeah, look, I think it is an educational thing. I think that, I think people wearing masks should actually be proud that they are not only protecting themselves, but they're protecting the person that in the close vicinity as well. So it is a sort of an altruistic gesture, not only a selfish gesture. And I think we need to, you see, I think in the Orient, they kind of been wearing masks for millennia. And I think we need to kind of inculcate that behavior in our own population. It is new. We've only started this year. But I think with the correct messaging, with the correct publicity, and also demonstrating the science behind it, I think should be a powerful way of getting behavioral change. Can I give you one other little thing to take home? You know, they've done some of these laser light scattering experiments, and they showed that 1 minute of a person speaking relatively loudly generates over 1,000 virus particles in their droplets. So, you know, this is the thing. You know, there's this kind of cloud of moist air around somebody, particularly if they're speaking, even more so if they're singing or talking loudly.
With that, Professor, thank you very much. I'm going to be working on my elocution so I can keep being heard by you at home without covering my colleagues in studio in a fine mist of Paul. Thank you very much. We look forward to speaking with you.
I think just wear a mask.
On top of that. Yes.
Yeah. Okay, Paul.
Thanks very much, Professor.